I want to start saying thank you for each and every one of you that are present here tonight. Thank you for coming out to help us in this revival. I love you, and I appreciate the love you're showing for us by being here. And I want to encourage you, if you know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, please let there be liberty in the house of God. Follow Him. Don't hold back. Oh, there's so much at stake. You see, there's eternity at stake here tonight. We play games, and in those games, we'll take chances. Maybe we dive for a ball, and maybe it goes good, and maybe it doesn't. But you see, we'll do the very best we can to try to take those chances and to try to win the game. I'm telling you, this is no game. This is reality. This is more serious than a ball game ever thought of being. This is more serious than work. This is more serious than what you can obtain in life. This is everlasting, you see. Oh, what happens? It's got everlasting consequences. Oh, I certainly didn't want to do this. Oh, I didn't. I learned so much from Brother Jeff and listening to him whenever God uses him and assist him and Brother David. And boy, learned boy, love both of these men and certainly don't want to interfere and get in their way. By no means. Oh, but at the same time, I want everyone to follow God, including myself. I don't want to get in His way either. Listen, I'm telling you, we must serve Him without fear or favor of man. Yet, nevertheless, we are to exalt our brother higher than ourselves. And sometimes, listen, if we're not careful, we can go to extreme on things. Listen, I want to encourage you tonight not to go too far to the right, not to go too far to the left. Don't become extremist on anything, but follow God, His Spirit, and His truth right down the middle. Exactly what He wants you to do. Nothing more and nothing less, but everything He wants from you. Give it to Him tonight. Oh, if you got your Bibles and you want to follow along, we'll start over here in 2 Kings. Oh, please pray for me that this comes out the way God wants it to. We'll start over here in chapter 6, and I want to give you just kind of a brief background on what's going on here. In chapter 6, we'll look at verse 24. And if I had a title for tonight's lesson, I guess my thought would be, do you want to live or do you want to die? That is the question I want you to ask yourself. And listen, I don't want you to give me an answer, but I want you to take it up with God. I want you to ask yourself deep down, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I want you to answer God that question, not to me. But if you've got your Bibles, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. So in common terms, what we would look at with this, you've got a city here that come and they encamped all around and they besieged Samaria there. And whenever they besieged them, they was camped all around them. And listen, I'm telling you, they didn't have planes. Listen, where they could fly over and drop in so they could bring them food. Listen, this city that was besieged and surrounded by their enemy, listen, there was no more food coming in. They was hungry, you see. It got to a point to where a donkey's head was so for 80 pieces of silver. Listen, for the head of a donkey, it got for just a cup. You see, dove's dung, it says, was sold for silver. Listen, these people was hungry. They needed food to live, you see. And it got so bad on them. It got so bad. We'll skip down just a little bit for the sake of time. And the king, in verse 28, it says, and the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered this woman and said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. Boy, you want to talk about hungry. Well, I don't understand some of these things. I know me personally, I would much rather give my life so that my children kids could live. As an 8-year-old son. But I'm telling you, the picture I want you to see is these people were hungry. They was in a famine. They had no food coming in. Today in America, we're spoiled. We've got everything handed to us. If we want it, we go to the store and get it. They didn't have that. They didn't have it. Skipping on down here, we'll move on down to chapter 7. I want to ask you a question. If you're hungry tonight, if there's a burden in here that you're in need of, if there's something going on inside the heart, you can't find it at the grocery store. It's not there. But if your soul is hungry for something tonight, chapter 7, verse 1, it says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. If your soul is hungry tonight, would you hear the word of the Lord, you see? Listen, it's not about me. It's not about what I say. It's about the power of God accompanying his word and piercing your heart and drawing you all the way into an altar that you repent at. It don't have to be right here, but you had better sacrifice and give up your whole heart desiring him more than anything else if you're ever going to get it. It goes on, it says, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for just a shekel. 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. This is a place of famine. And what he's saying here, hear the word of the Lord. God's going to fix it is what he's saying. He's saying tomorrow, God's going to fix it, you see. And that's what he's saying. Right here in the very next verse, it says, then a Lord whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? This Lord that he's talking about here, I want you to picture a king. And he's got ranking underneath him, you see. This Lord that he's talking about is a man of authority, you see. He's got some ranking underneath the king. He's got some authority to make some suggestions. And the king leans to him and listens and takes his answers. In that, he basically mocked the man of God. And he said, well, if God would just make windows in heaven. Guess what? He did. And he said that we would pray. He said he would pour blessings out of the windows of heaven so much that our cups would run it over, you see. He shows them that just a little while later, and we'll try to get to that. And he said, behold, thou shalt see with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Keep that in mind. Chapter and verse 3 here it says, and there were 4 lepers. 4 leprous men at the entering in the gate. And they said to one another, why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall to the host of the Syrians. If they save us, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. I want you to understand a few things in this. Leprous men. I want to talk about the lepers. There's a disease of leprosy. And it ran rampant back in these days. And the disease of leprosy was of the skin. And listen, it would bore holes in people's skin. It literally rotted the way of the skin. Brother Jeff preached us here a while back about the old dry bones and should they live. Listen, the old leprosy, listen, it would eat away the flesh till it just eat away your body until you become infected and the infection would set up. And listen, you would eventually die with that, you see. If you became a leper, listen, they would set you outside of the city because it was highly contagious. They was considered unclean. Just as that was a disease of the skin. Oh, if you're lost and separated from God, just like the leprosy, it led to death. And that's what it was. Listen, when you became a leper, you got set outside because you was as good as gone. I'm telling you, if you become lost and separated from God, you're as good as gone, you see. We refer to that as the second death. The first death there. We're accustomed to life, this life, and we're accustomed to seeing someone die, the first death. We're accustomed to laying somebody to rest. As many deaths as what we've seen here lately, I feel pretty confident that most of you have walked by and viewed a casket and there being an empty body laying inside there with no soul inside of them. And you see that body, if you look real close, you can see where they try to put makeup on them and they try to dress them up the very best they can just out of pure respect for the individual and their families. Oh, listen, and we pay our respects. But I'm telling you, that individual's soul, the day he drew his last breath out of this body, it stands before God. And when it stands before God, it's, are you alive with him or are you dead in your sins? That's the second death that I'm talking about tonight. That's the one that's so important. We're all going to die sometime in this life. Listen, we look at sand in an hourglass, and maybe some of you played a game, and I know we kind of get away from those things. Everything now is digitalized, and maybe you're used to looking up at a scoreboard, and you see the old clock ticking down, and boy, when you see that thing getting down to the very last few seconds, it's, hurry up, we got to get things fixed. Guess what? There's no warning with this one. It's ready or not, here I am. You're standing before him before you know it. That's why it's so crucial that you get things fixed now. These lepers, they knew they was as good as dead. They were set outside the gate of Samaria there, where there was already such a famine. They knew that even if they ran back in the city, the people would kill them because they was lepers. And not only that, but there was no food there anyway, you see. Everybody was in hunger. But what they even had to do, listen, they had to be willing to even go through to the enemy. Is where they had to go. They had to be willing to go to the enemy, knowing the enemy was going to kill them. But they asked themselves the question, why sit we here till we die? Are you afraid tonight? Are you afraid? Listen, if you've become lost, if you've ever reached that time in your life to where you knew something was wrong between you and God. Listen, we use in Missionary Baptist, a lot of times we use Missionary Baptist slang, if you would. And to be honest with you, I've grown very accustomed to it because I grew up this way. I don't want it to be confusing. Has God ever knocked on your heart and just let you know something's not right? And if that's ever happened to you, guess what? Oh, honey, you're dead in your own sins. Oh, but the great thing about it is you don't have to sit there until you die. And they rose in the twilight to go into the camp of Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses and even the noise of the great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel had hired up against the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt, the Egyptians, to come upon us. I'm telling you, it never happened, but the Lord made a great noise and the Lord cleared away. That's what I want you to say tonight. You don't have to sit there to eat up because the Lord, He cleared away. Oh, just for you. You know why? Because He loves you. Oh, He does. He cleared away because He loves you. Because He loves me. Boy, any good. Oh, so many times we focus on our problems in life, and you know why we do that? Because we're so spoiled, we're used to too many good things. God is good. Oh, He's good. So good, He cleared a way for the hopeless, which is what we are. Wherefore they arose and fled to the twilight. They left their tents, their horses, their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into the tent and did eat and did drink, and carried thence silver and gold and remnant, and went and hid it, and came and entered to one another into another tent, and carried thence also, and went and hid it. I want you to get this part right here. I want you to see this. We've already established what all was going on here. We have already established, listen, that God cleared a way and God made a way. Oh, and listen, they was able to just walk right into it. You know what they had to do? They had to step out on faith is what they had to do. They had to be willing. Listen, they wanted that salvation there, if you would, or that food to keep them alive. Listen, they wanted that more than anything else because they knew if they didn't get it, they was going to die. And it's the same thing with your soul. If you don't find the true bread of life, if you don't find Jesus Christ, your soul is dead and it's hell bound. But when they did go and they walked right into it, God made a way. Just made all they had to do was just walk right in. And right here outlays a big feast. I'm telling you, saved their physical lives that day, and that's a picture of what He can do for your soul. But you know what they done with it? They went and they tried to hide it. That was the next thing that they done. Oh, let's keep this for ourselves. Boy, this is too good. Let's hold this back and keep it for ourselves. You know what would have happened if they would have stayed that way? None of Samaria would have gotten to come and live with them. No, they wouldn't. If you've been saved and you've got a better place to go, don't you want your friends and your family, your loved ones, don't you want them to go with you? And if you do, you'd better tell them what God done for you and what He'll do for them too. If you want your friends to go, tell them about what He's done for you. Don't hide it. Then they said to one another, we do not wail this day. It's a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry here to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. Listen, if God's done something good, shout it to the world. Tell people about what God's done for me. If our gospel be hid, it's hid from everybody else. Oh, we don't want want anybody to be left behind. Tell people what God's done for you. If he saved you, is it really too much to ask to just say, hey, well, God saved my soul from an eternal damnation. Boy, just tell people about it. Because then you just might be the one that God's trying to use to lodge some of that seed down in somebody else's heart, to start setting up some of that conviction. Let God use you and watch and see how much he don't bless your life even more. If God paved the way for you, if he loved you that much, to allow you to just merely step out on faith and give you eternal life, don't you think he's going to bless you for your efforts in following him? Of course he will, because that's how good my God is. So they came and they called to the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents, and they, as they were. And he called the porters, and they told the king of the house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto the servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we will be hungry, therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. I want to stop right there for just a minute. I want to talk about this for just a little bit. The king himself arose whenever he heard of these things. And just like a wise king would do, he would start thinking about what the enemy might be trying to do. And I'm telling you, there's some wisdom in that. But listen, I also want to tell you, don't allow your wisdom as a saved individual to interfere with what God is wanting to do. A lot of times, well, we think that we've got something kind of figured out. Don't allow your wisdom to interfere with God, you see. If God wants it to be done, go running. Do your very best. Allow God to use you. Lean not to your own understandings, but trust him. And I'll skip on down just a little bit, just for the sake of time here. I feel like I'm getting fairly close to wrapping up, maybe. We'll skip on down. Just to kind of give you an overview of what happened here, the rest of the Syrians, or the rest of the Samaritans there, they got to run on out, and they got to go try to gather some of this food. You see, they sent some horses out to go check and see. And whenever they checked and they seen, they come back with a good report. They said they're gone, and everything else is still there. Listen, God made the way, is what they was trying to say. And you know what happened? Just as the man of God told them, is what happened. It says in verse 17, it says, and the king appointed the Lord, on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God said, who spake when the king came down to him. Oh, and whenever I read this, I'm telling you what I seen in this and what God showed me in this. Listen, I remember whenever I was lost. I remember as just a 10-year-old boy. I remember, bowing down to God. And I remember trying to plead with him. And I remember saying, God, I want you more than my friends. God, I want you more than this. God, I want you more than that. And I began holding back on that old gate, you see. I wouldn't give him my whole heart. I was just trying to give him part of it. If you hold back on that gate and you don't just give him your whole heart, you know what's going to happen? You're going to die just like he did. That man was trying to hold the gate. You know why? I believe part of it, listen, it may have been for the king's sake, as far as maybe wanting some of the spoil for himself. But ultimately, the bottom line is because he failed to believe what the man of God told him. Over what we read to be the very beginning. He failed to believe the report, you see. Verse 19, it says, and the Lord answered the man of God and said, now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And it fell out to the people, and the people trod upon him, and he did die. I'm telling you, listen, I do believe God is looking down, and I'm telling you, God has made the way, and I'm telling you, God will take care of you, but only if you step out on faith and trust him. It is impossible for man to please God without faith. Oh, you've got to step out and try him. One time. You know what'll happen when that happens? When you step out and try him one time, you know what that'll do? Boy, the next time something big comes up in your life, God can take you back whenever you get humbled down and say, look what I've done for you before. Going through this life, it's not a bed of roses. Bible says that it rains on the just and unjust alike. It's not always going to be good. Matter of fact, it tells us it's just the opposite. It tells us there's troubles kept all around us. It says it's a few days and full of troubles. I'm telling you, the greatest and the best thing about this life is this is not as good as it gets for me. And it don't have to be for you either. But you know what it's going to take? Over here in the book of John. Oh, in chapter 3. There was a man, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man do these miracles that doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered unto him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb a second time to be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest of the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Listen, it's not something you can physically see. That's why you've got to have faith, and you've got to step out on faith and put your trust in God, and you're going to have to go all the way with him. I'm telling you, don't be like the man. Oh, listen, the Lord of the King that was trying to hold the gate back. Whenever you come to God, listen, run to him with whole arms and open the gate wide open. Give it to him, and I promise you, he'll save your soul just like he did mine. Marvel not at which you must be born again. Oh, listen, that which is born of flesh is flesh. We're all flesh here tonight. We've all been born from a mother. Listen, I'm telling you, we're all flesh. But there's an inner part. And listen, if you can feel it, listen, it's just like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. And if there's something wrong, if there's some trouble in there, nobody can fix it. Mama can't fix it. Daddy can't fix it. Listen, nobody can fix it except God. Listen, so many times we want to fix problems. We want to fix things, but we can't fix it. God can. Take your broken heart to God tonight and let him fix it. That's my prayer. That's what God's given me. And I love you. Please work for God. Let him use you whichever way he sees fit. Just let him be lifted up and boasted tonight. Listen, the brother preached the other night. I don't want to get back into his message, but he preached the other night. Oh, listen, over there in Numbers where they lifted up the old brass snake. Oh, it's hard to picture Jesus as being a brass snake. But listen, he that knew no sin became sin just for you. He took it himself. All of your sins. Every one of them. Listen, I'm telling you. Listen, that little bitty white lie that maybe you told. Listen, that little bitty time of fibbing or over-exaggerating. That little bitty time maybe you stole a pencil when nobody was looking. That little bitty time you done something you knew you wasn't supposed to do. God died for that. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ gave his life for that sin. You're guilty in the eyes of an almighty and just God. And you will not escape the punishment that that leads to. You won't escape it unless you come to him and get forgiven. I love you, church. Love you that are lost. I love everybody because God put that love in there for me. Listen, I want you to go home with us if you've not been saved. For those of us that have, please, let's work. There's so much at stake. I'll turn the service back over to Brother David or Brother Jeff, either one.